Okay, we're at a floor covering retailer. We're in the Atlanta suburb of Marietta. We're with Elizabeth Stubbs. She's the owner of Enhanced Floors and More. And Elizabeth, it's great to it's great to have you on, and it's great to be in your store. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming by today.
Now, as I mentioned, you're in the suburbs. You've been here 27 years,
27 years in August, yes.
Give us a little history of this operation.
My husband and I own Enhanced Floors. We started in 1985, actually, as a carpet cleaner. He had done work for Surf Pro, restoration work, wound up going out on his own. We did carpet cleaning for several years, and over time had numerous customers. You know, who do you recommend for floor covering? I'm not going to see you for a while. I'm getting new, you know, new flooring. And we started getting into floor coverings on a small basis, didn't have a showroom. After a few years of that, probably by the early 90s, we realized we liked selling floors better than we liked cleaning carpet. It was more fun, made more money at it. So, you know, we slowly evolved into nothing, you know, but floor coverings. And that's what we've done since, you know, since, again, probably about the early 90s was strictly, you know, floor coverings.
And you gradually worked your way out of the maintenance arena?
Yes, it took 2 or 3 years. We basically quit advertising it, had one person, one truck, and just, you know, kind of let, you know, business come in until it kind of, you know, petered out, you know, over time.
Had you ever thought about reviving that? I mean, it seems like, to me, of course, I've never sold a square inch of carpet, I have to also admit, but it would be a great way to get new leads.
There are advantages to that. I think one of the things, Atlanta is a very saturated area with that type of business. And there are lots of, I'll clean your entire house for $12 type people that are really a ripoff. And if you do it right, you're going to be high. And we just decided that it was, you know, it took a lot of effort to make not a lot of money. Not that it's easy to make lots of money in floor coverings these days, but it, you know, it was a different type of business, a different type of service aspect, and we found ourselves better suited, you know, to this.
I gotcha.
We do have several, you know, floor covering, you know, professionals, floor cleaning professionals that we refer to that actually refer customers back and forth to, so we know our customers are in good hands when they need maintenance work done, you know, down the road. I think that's important.
Now, since you have a background in maintenance, do you talk maintenance with your customers when you sell them carpet? It seems like a lot of people don't do that.
I think, and even our staff that might not have been with us when we, you know, did the cleaning, you know, because we, you know, do, you know, sell cleaning products, we make an effort to educate them as to how to protect their investment, how to take care of things properly. Come to us, ask. If we don't know, we'll find out. But those of us that were here when we did the cleaning can pretty much say firsthand, you know, ooh, don't do that. You know, here's why, and here's what's going to happen. So I think it was kind of a very logical transition.
I get the idea from talking to many retailers that consumers sometimes have a impression that you don't need to clean carpet or, you know, or some such. Is that true?
I think that's totally true. You get people that say, well, I had it cleaned once and it just got dirtier quicker, so I don't clean it anymore, which makes no sense whatsoever. Would you not wash your clothes? Would you not wash your hair? I mean, of course not. I think your problem is you rent a machine at the grocery store, you use a horrible, you know, chemical in it, it leaves the residue behind, and yes, it attracts dirt, and yes, it does get dirty more quickly, but you didn't do it right. So I think, again, it's education on there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things, and hopefully getting your consumer to do things the right way.
That makes sense. How would you describe your philosophy towards retailing in general?
Well, first, we are strictly, you know, residential replacement. We don't do builder work, we don't do apartment work, and really don't do that much commercial. The bulk of what we do is working one-on-one with the homeowner, where every interaction is, you know, totally different. I think that's kind of what keeps it fresh, you know, for us. Our goal is to really be more of a consultant here, you know, spend the time getting to know the customer, what their needs are, so that we can then make recommendations that are going to fit their particular, you know, situation. Mm-hmm. We try to make a friend and make a customer for life.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you don't get involved in commercial all that much. What about Main Street commercial. Is that something that you dabble in?
Yes, we do. If we have, for example, a client who is an attorney who'd like his office done or is a dentist, absolutely. But we're not going to take on Hartsfield-Jackson Airport or, you know, big, gigantic hospital. Yeah. That's definitely beyond our scope.
Is that a good part of your business? Is that something that you've seen some growth in or something you go after anyway?
We do not aggressively go after it. If it falls in our lap, absolutely. I think we're not doing as much as, you know, we have in years past because everybody's, you know, watching their expenditures. And if you can get another year or two out of your floors, yeah. I think many people are doing that, especially the small businesses.
I've got you. Are you affiliated with anybody, a buying group, a manufacturer?
We're a Mohawk Color Center.
I see. I saw some Mohawk references as I was coming in. I guess that was a silly question. How would you describe this year so far? How's it been here in Atlanta?
It has been better. I would say after we got into about the third week of January, things seemed to have loosened up. And by that, people were actually buying. You know, even in the past couple of years when things weren't as great, you know, we had traffic. We were doing estimates, but there was no rush whatsoever to make a decision. You felt like somebody, your client was going to eventually do it, but whether that meant next month, next year, you know, three years from now, there just wasn't, you know, let's sign on the dotted line and get this done. People are a little bit more, you know, decisive this year, seem to be a little bit more comfortable about, you know, spending money and making investments in their home, and the projects seem to be a little bit bigger.
I guess Atlanta has been more hard hit than a lot of cities around the United States.
Atlanta's tough. I mean, there is really no building to speak of, you know, right now. You see little niche subdivisions, you know, going in. But, you know, we lived off new construction for, as a city, years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And the recession, I think, hit us late and has hit us, you know, harder. And when I was at convention talking to people in other parts of the country, a lot of folks have, you know, come out of this or are definitely on their way out of this. It's still tough here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that are buying, what would you say their reasons are? Just their floor covering got so awful looking they couldn't stand it anymore, or they got a job, or none of the above?
I think for an awful lot of our clients, they are realizing they're in their house for a while. Now's not a good time to sell. So instead of selling it for far less than you could have a few years ago, and hopefully we'll be able to a few years from now, hey, if I'm going to stay here, I'm going to make it the way I want it to be. I'm going to buy for me and not the next buyer. And they finally are giving themselves permission to update their home since they know they're going to be there.
A lot of retailers tell me it'll be good 1 week and then bad the next week. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It's been a little bit more consistent this year. You know, last year was, you know, horrible with that. We would have a good week and then two not good weeks, a good week, a not good week. You couldn't even get excited about the good weeks because you knew it would not last.
You knew something good was, or something bad was not going to be around the corner. Mm-hmm. Now, you sell products other than floor coverings here, as I understand.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Okay. We do all types of floor coverings, carpet, hardwood, laminate, tile, vinyl. But we made a decision a couple of years ago that since we had fewer customers coming through the door, when we had a customer who understood us, understood what we were all about, you know, we're not the least expensive, but we're going to offer quality, we're going to do it right, you know, what else can we sell to this customer? And we didn't want to get into, well, let's cut your grass, let's build a deck onto your house. You know, what are logical things that we could, you know, get into? So we got into granite countertops, can buy slabs from Dial Tile, which is a Mohawk, you know, company. Mm-hmm. So that was a logical thing to do, getting in, you know, basically had to find a fabricator, but got into granite countertops. We do cabinets, whether it's new or, you know, faux finishing, you know, existing cabinets. That's a logical thing to a kitchen makeover, which goes along with the backsplash that we were already doing. We do staircase makeovers. We can take a staircase, you know, all the way down, change it out from carpet to wood, add the wrought iron railings, wrought iron balusters. So staircase makeovers are another part of our business. And then, you know, kitchen and bathroom redos, you know, as well, you know, doing, you know, a little bit more than, you know, just the floor.
I see. So that's really helped your average ticket then, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most of the extra items that you sell are to people that buy floor coverings as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll get some people that are coming in, you know, just for granite countertops, but usually they're here, oh, you do this too, and it becomes, you know, they like the convenience of a one-stop shop, you know, dealing with one company that could coordinate and do everything instead of having to, you know, handle, you know, several different trades themselves, which isn't easy.
Well, I suspect for existing customers, people you've worked with in the past, I mean, I guess with a countertop, you're rolling the dice with a lot of people, so they have the assurance that, well, you did the floor covering okay, you're going to do this okay.
Exactly.
How would you say the recession has changed this operation?
We are much smaller and leaner than we were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Our showroom is smaller, our warehouse is smaller, our staff is smaller. I mean, we've really, you know, downsized. I don't know that I'd say we ever spent money foolishly, but you really do, you know, agonize over every expense. Is this necessary? Is there another way of doing things? Because again, when you've only got so much coming in the door, you've got to first, you know, bid the job profitably so you're still here, and then make sure that, you know, that you're running a smart business, you know, with your expenses so that you can still be here.
I hear you. How about the products you carry? Has that changed?
There's really no fluff anymore. I think that is the thing about a smaller showroom. You have to agonize over everything that is in here. If it doesn't sell, it doesn't stay. Something that you might get one sale a year from, you don't have the square footage for that anymore. So you wind up really paring down to, to things that you know that most consumers are going to have an interest in, because there's no dead space anymore for the things that, you know, that don't move as well.
A lot of retailers have a tough time with that. I've been in retail stores where it's, well, somebody may buy this, so they add it, and then after a while, you can hardly walk through the aisles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't, is that agonizing for you to throw some of these things out?
I hate to, because you think, gosh, I paid money for that, but they're, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, it's better to, you know, because you can't clutter yourself up. I mean, good shopping experience either.
Now, you talked about the fact that Atlanta is not the best of markets in the United States. Talk about this particular area. You're in Marietta. You're in a really nice shopping center.
The nice thing about East Cobb, which is where we're located, you know, generally speaking, our client base has not been that hard hit by the recession. And by that I mean, yeah, there's not multiple foreclosures on every street. There's not been huge, you know, amounts of layoffs. In this area, it's as much psychological as anything. They have the money. Maybe they don't have as much money sitting in their 401k as they did, you know, a few years ago, but they have the money. But there is a fear to spend it. They've got to really, you know, get invested in the process to decide, yeah, let's go ahead and take the plunge to do it. The decision-making factor has just, you know, really, really, really slowed down, because, you know, there's still fear there. There's a lot of mental.
I see. Well, don't know what's going to happen next, I guess.
Oh, exactly. And I'm waiting to see what happens with the election as it approaches. Historically, that's always, you know, people put things on hold to, you know, to see what happens. And if this one winds up real dirty and ugly, that's not going to be good for us this fall.
I won't go any further on
that. Exactly.
Talk about your competition. I suspect there's lots of players around here.
There are, you know, big boxes. There are, you know, big stores, small stores, and there are lots of individuals. And I have to say, I probably consider individuals, you know, my biggest, you know, competition.
Selling out of their trunk of the car.
Exactly. There are painters that now sand hardwood floors. We're not going to say they're real good at it, but, you know, they can sure rent a sanding machine and, you know, throw down some coats of polyurethane. People that don't have a storefront that can, you know, find a way to sell and get product. And it's very difficult to compete against, because when someone has no overhead, and I have overhead, you know, we can't sell for the same price, and you have to have customers that, you know, understand, you know, that, you know, sometimes somebody that's there for the long run, you know, it's worth it to pay a little bit more for the sure thing than, you know, somebody that's not going to be there when you have a problem a few months down the road.
I see. How about the big box players? You mentioned they're all over the place. This is the headquarters of Home Depot. I'm sure they have more stores in this market than any other market in the United States. Are they a problem for you?
I actually don't really mind bidding against Home Depot. Once you get down to a bottom line price, we're usually competitive, and we're going to out-service them, whether it's, you know, helping with product, you know, selection, as well as, you know, all the way through the installation, you know, experience. There are certain things we bring to the table that I really don't mind going up against the orange people because I probably get more than I lose.
This is going to conclude the first part of a three-part series. We're talking with Elizabeth Stubbs. She's a floor covering retailer. She's the owner of Enhanced Floors and More. They're based in Marietta, Georgia. We'll air the second part of this series on Monday. This is Floor Radio.